2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we'll begin tonight. And we're picking up in this study called Being Right with God. How many of you have been in all three of the studies that we've done so far in this series? All three. Look at that. Very good. We talked, first of all, about the bad news. Remember the bad news? And we talked about the fact that in our culture, because so many people do not believe in absolute truth, they don't believe the Bible is the final word, many people don't realize that they are really sinners and innately wicked and on their way to hell and in need of a Savior. And so Paul, in the book of Romans, lays out the fact that people are born in sin. Adam's sin passed down to everybody. And so everybody is born in sin, not to mention sins. They have sin, but yet they sin as well. There's a difference between sin and sins. I might talk about that a little later tonight. So the bad news is that everybody, every single person will die and go to hell unless they get saved, unless they receive the Lord Jesus. Now the good news is that the Lord Jesus came, and we talked about the fact last week, we talked about the great exchange, that if one died for all, then all died. So sin is already paid for, right? That's the good news. But the good news is not that good if people don't really think they really need a Savior. And so many people say, oh, being a Christian, okay, so being a part of that church or this church, okay, that I like that church, that's my style, and so I'll go to be a part of this church. Not thinking about the Savior, thinking about the church. Well, that's the wrong thinking. Isn't that right? We need a church after we need a Savior. We need a church to tell us about the Savior accurately. But a lot of people don't realize how badly they need the Savior, so they think they just need a religion, need the church. Well, that's a trap. And we found out last week that the bottom line is, if you work, if you try to work to be good enough, then you do the moonwalk. You remember that? Huh? We need a video on that one, don't we? Well, no, maybe we don't. But what God said was, if you try to earn your salvation by being good enough, really what you inherit is sin and death, because you can never do it. You have to receive it by grace through faith. Thank God. Well, the second week, 2 weeks ago, we talked about true repentance. And in fact, we had discussed that just flippantly saying a prayer, or even with a heartfelt, genuine motive, saying a prayer to God, Jesus be my Lord and such, with no corresponding actions, shows God that there's an ingenuineness to your faith. And James says, faith without works is dead. If your life does not show that God is first in your life, then it doesn't matter what your mouth says. Your life proves who's first. And so we talked about true repentance. Now, tonight I want to talk about the new you. How many of you could use a new you? Huh? The new you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's pick it up from verse 16 tonight. You know, if I quoted to you verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new, you could say, oh yeah, I know that scripture. But if I quoted to you verse 16, therefore from now on we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer, you'd say, huh, I don't know where that is. Well, you do, because I just told you it's in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 5. But the one is an extremely popular verse, the one is an unpopular verse, and I suggest to you, you cannot understand verse 17 without understanding verse 16. And I'm going to show you that tonight. Verse 16, Paul says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, or because of this, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now let's just stop there. We talked last week about the great exchange, that Jesus was righteous. He proved his righteousness with obedience. And then he died with our sin and made it an exchange with us. He said, I'll take your sin and die with it. You take the righteousness that I earned by obedience and live with this. It's a tremendous exchange. You didn't earn the righteousness. You cannot get it by earning it. Neither can you keep it by earning it. You receive it by faith because of the grace of the Lord Jesus. Now, so Jesus dies with this. So here it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, a brand new creation, not a refurbished model, right? Have you ever seen a car that was old and it rusted and the rust began to bubble out? And so what they did was they took it to Earl Scheib or some $99 one-day paint. And instead of fixing the car, they did a quicksand and painted it, and you could still see those rust bubbles. How many of you are glad that's not what happened to us? We just got a quick paint job, but inside, the sin is still there. Oh, no, 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 my friend, listen. If anyone is in Christ, he is a brand new creation. Brand new. New. Everybody say new. Say, I'm new.
I'm new.
And then he says, old things have passed away. That's past tense, isn't it? Old things have passed away. And then he uses this word, behold, which means what? Check it out. Look, see it this way. Behold, all things have become new. Say that with me. All things have become new. So, see, what that means is when you become a Christian, you're brand new. You never sin anymore. You never have a bad attitude anymore. You don't stink anymore. You don't have to take a shower. Everything's brand new. Old things have passed away. Right? I mean, you don't have any problem looking at the opposite sex. No attractions that should be there. I mean, everything has become new. Old things are all passed away. Isn't that right? Except lying. Well, if you think you can struggle with that, look at the first line of the next verse. Now, all things are of God. All things. Everything about you is of God. Everything. If I just followed you around all day, everything you said was of God. Everything you did was of God. Everything about you, your attitude, your demeanor, everything is of God. All, is that what it says? See, we quote this and we say, there it is. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now all things are of God. Everything in my life is of God. How many of you would have a hard time selling that to people that live in your house? Is that right? You can sell it to somebody you just met, maybe. But if you keep talking for a few minutes, they're not going to buy it either, right? Well, obviously, when we get saved, not everything in our whole life changes. Obviously, you still think thoughts sometimes that you shouldn't think. You still allow your eyes to look at things sometimes longer than you should look at them. You should have just had a glance and turned, but you were curious or lustful. Well, that's not of God. That's not new. That's old. That's same old, same old. Is that right? But here it says, if you're in Christ, so therefore you must not be in Christ. Because if you're in Christ, old things have passed away. All things are new. Is that what it says? Funny how sometimes these are our favorite verses. We don't really read them. We just quote them because it kind of sounds good, but we don't stop to think, does that apply? See, and like I said to you, you cannot understand verse 17 without understanding verse 16, because verse 17 starts with the word therefore, and whenever you see the word therefore, you have to stop to see what it's there for. Now, verse 16, let's look at this again. Therefore, from now on,
We regard no one according to the flesh. The flesh. Everybody know what the flesh is? Just pat your arm. That's part of the flesh. There are other places to pat, but let's just use the arm, okay? That's just part of the flesh. The flesh, that's your body. And your body has a desire to be pleased. Your body likes to sit down, lay down, eat, sleep when it wants to, talk when it wants to. That's the flesh. And we deal with the flesh all the time. Isn't that right? Well, notice here, Paul coming off of the passage where he says, if one person died for all, then the way we judge things is that all died. And so he's trying to explain to us, so if somebody receives Jesus, we refuse to look at them in the flesh anymore. I refuse to look at their outward exterior to see if they're measuring up to tell if they're a Christian. No, he says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. He said, we don't even know Christ that way any longer. How do we know him? We know him in the Spirit. Then he says, therefore, because we don't look at somebody in their flesh, the outward, what we see with our physical eyes, he says, from now on, this is the way we see them. If they're in Christ, I see them as a new creation. I see that old things have passed away. I see that all things have become new. And I see that all things are of God. He is not saying that every part of their life is all fixed and perfect and they don't ever sin or make a mistake anymore. He's saying, this is now the way that I see them because of what Jesus did. Jesus took their sin for them and nailed it to a cross. Their sin is dead. That old person is dead. And if they've received Jesus, there's a new life. Just because I can't see it all on the outside does not mean it's not there. You see what this is saying? He's saying we don't regard them according to the flesh. You know, you see somebody that just received Jesus. And you listen to the way they talk. And you know, there's some Christians that, you know, they start to edge away. Thought they said they're a Christian. Talking about watching Extreme Makeover Home Edition. Girls on there with those short blue jean shorts on. I can't believe they're not a Christian. I mean, I've heard Christians say some things just about at that level. Just judging according to the flesh. You watch that. You listen to that. Now, I'm not saying that everything's a go. Chapter 6 of Romans says, well, what shall we say now that we're saved by grace? Shall we continue in sin so that grace just abounds and forgives us? No, certainly not. How shall we that have died to sin live any longer in it? That's not the question we're asking right now, though. The question is, are you in Christ and did something happen? Is there a change? Are you different? And Paul says, because of what Jesus has done, we don't look at the flesh anymore. He said, here's the way we judge it. If they're in Christ, if they've received Jesus as Lord, then he said, here's how we see them. Behold, they're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now all things are of God. Now, obviously, he's not talking about their physical body, because how many of you know your physical body really doesn't change when you get saved? I mean, if you were tall before you received Jesus and then you received Jesus, you're a tall believer. Is that right? If you're short, you're a short believer. If you're good looking, you're a good looking believer. And if you're an other, no, there are no others. Everybody's good looking. Thank God. Especially at The Rock. Some of you would not have heard this, but I shared it a couple of years ago. But about, it must have been about three. It was all within the first year that we opened the church. So somewhere before April of 2001, we were doing some business with Kinko's down here, Orangethorpe and Harbor. And one of our people were in there to do a job and such, and they said, you're from The Rock? Oh, I heard about that church. I heard that's where all the good-looking people go. And I thought, that's a great comment. That's a great comment. And, of course, I'd been into Kinko's before. And
I enjoyed that, though. We got a bunch of good-looking people around here. But just because you're good-looking, that doesn't mean that you know Jesus. It's whether or not you're in Christ. Have you received Jesus into your heart? Because what Paul is saying is you can't see on the outside the change. You have to, by faith, see it. If they're in Christ, then he said, this is the way we see it. They're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things new. Well, what if they're still cussing? Well, that doesn't mean that they're not saved. You understand? Look at it again, verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Well, I heard their flesh cuss. Well, I watched your flesh eat. Is that right? Flesh is flesh, man. How many of you are glad we don't judge according to the flesh? Isn't that right? I mean, there we could go on and on with what the flesh does. The flesh does all kinds of things. Paul said, no, we don't look at the flesh to find out if somebody's saved anymore. Now, somebody said, well, Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. That's absolutely right, because you do have to judge a person's character by what you see coming out of their life. That's exactly right. That's not to judge whether or not they're going to heaven. Do you understand? That's to judge how you interact with them and how much trust you put in them. There's some people, based on their actions and their words and things, that I'm just not going to do business with. I'm not going to sign and come into an agreement with you because I'm listening to you or I'm watching you. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to say that you're not a believer because of what I saw on the outside. I mean, there may be some things that I've done. I'm sure there are. And if you had seen these, you'd say, he's not even a Christian. But it would be a lie, because I am a Christian. I'm born again of the Holy Spirit, filled with Jesus himself. I was thinking about this earlier today. I'm possessed. I'm not demon possessed, but I'm possessed. I'm Holy Spirit possessed. I'm walking around possessed. And people better watch out. Is that right? Christ in us, the hope of glory. I'm Christ possessed. I'm different. I'm not the average bear. I'm possessed. Yeah. Well, if I'm in Christ, I'm a new creation. So what Paul's saying is, with our physical eyes, you cannot look deep enough to find out if a person really is saved. And don't look at the flesh. Don't just judge by their attitude, by their words, by their actions, because so many, many people are still carnal and behaving like non-Christians. And yet, in their spirit, they have a faith that has received the grace of God. And only God knows whether they're really saved. Isn't that right? So Paul said, here's the deal. If you're in Christ, if you're coming and confessing Jesus, then he said, this is the way we see you. You're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, here's the problem. Paul's saying that's the way he sees it. But did you know there are so many Christians that don't see themselves like that? They've come and they've said the prayer, received Jesus, and as much as a genuine heart as they can muster up, they've brought it before the Lord to receive the grace and the forgiveness of God, and yet they continually look in the mirror and watch their own flesh and discount their salvation. Why? Because they look at themselves according to the flesh. When Paul says in verse 16, therefore from now on we regard no one according to the flesh, that includes yourself. Is that right? You can't look at your flesh and decide that you're not a Christian. Well, I didn't measure up. See, because you didn't measure up to get saved, why would you have to measure up to stay saved? Is that right? If measuring up was not part of the package to become a Christian, why would it be part of the criteria of determining whether you really are? It cannot be. And we spent the whole time last week talking about the fact that if you try to measure up, you don't, because you think you can be good enough. But if you just admit, I'm a sinner, I need to be saved, I need a Savior. Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. I receive what you did. Then he said all of the obedience of Jesus gets credited to your account and all of your sin gets credited to Jesus' account. Faith. Is that right? So, if you receive it by faith, then to determine whether or not you're a believer, you have to determine your faith, not your works. Now listen, that does not mean y'all can just do whatever you want to. You understand? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about how to know who you really are. Thank God. So he says, from now on, we regard no one. And I want to tell you tonight that it's scriptural. The Bible is telling you, stop regarding yourself according to the flesh. Stop determining whether or not you are loved by God, forgiven by God, born again, a new creation, righteous before God, based on your attitude, based on how disciplined you are, based on your words, based on what you watched on television that you knew you shouldn't have watched. Stop basing whether or not you're part of the family of God on what you do and start basing it on what you believe in your heart. Now, a lot of people don't like this kind of teaching because they say, well, Pastor, you're just giving people a license to sin. Well, let me tell you what I've learned about people. They don't need a license. Is that right? They sin already. But this is what the Bible says. You need to see yourself for who you really are. And who you really are, if you've received Jesus as Lord from your heart, who you really are is a new creation. And he says, behold. He wouldn't have to say behold if you were already beholding. He said, behold. See it this way. Begin to look past your flesh. And see yourself as a man of God. See yourself as a woman of God. See yourself as the righteousness of God in Christ. See it that way. Look at verse 16. Let's read both verses again together and then we'll move on. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Thank God, all things. Everybody say this. Say, I'm a new creation.
I'm a new creation.
All things, they done passed away.
Behold,
check it out.
See it this way.
All things have become new.
And now,
all things about me are of God. Shut up, mind. All things are of God. I'm new. That's the way I see it. I'm in Christ.
I'm brand new.
Old things are gone. Now, if you're a man, I want you to say three or four times, I'm a man of God. If you're a woman, I want you to just say three or four times out loud. Come on, I'm a woman of God. Come on, say it. I'm a man of God. 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 You need to get used to talking like that. Because one of the big problems that Christians face is seeing themselves still as sinners and trying to live as if they're righteous. Is that right? It would be like seeing yourself as a woman and trying to live like a man. Well, they got surgeries and all that for that, right? I didn't condone that. I just said they have them. Right? You got to watch what you say, people. Now listen, we're talking about spiritual surgery that Jesus does when you receive him as Lord. And he takes the old person inside and he says, that's nailed to the cross. And puts a brand new spirit in you that is connected directly to God. That's who you are now. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has committed to us, is that what it says? And has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That is, or given to us the word of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing or not recognizing their trespasses against them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Before it said given us the ministry of reconciliation, here it says committed to us the word or the message of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore, I don't believe the word you should be there. It's italicized in the King James, New King James, which means it's not in the original text, but the translators felt like it helped
in the understanding? I don't believe it does. Because what he's talking about in the context here is that the Lord did the ministry while he was on earth, and then he handed the baton of ministry over to us, the word and the ministry of reconciliation to us, so that now it's our job to go and preach this message to the world to be reconciled with God. There's no sin keeping them back anymore because Jesus has taken care of the sin. And so we tell them that Jesus paid for your sin. Be reconciled to God. There's no barrier. Run to God and receive the forgiveness that Jesus has provided. See, that's the ministry of reconciliation. So when he goes on to say, verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. See, he's not saying we implore you, Corinthians. They're already saved. They're already reconciled to God. He's trying to convince them that they are. Now he's saying, not only are you reconciled to God, but the Lord has given us the ministry of reconciliation so that we can go and tell other people to be reconciled to God. So he says, we implore on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Read that verse with me. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. There's the exchange. He made Jesus, God the Father made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So if you've received Jesus, you have become the righteousness of God in him. You're not becoming as if you can get better and better. Hey, you're either righteous, Jack, or you're not. Right? You're not, I'm coming up to it, and pretty soon God's going to say, you got it, you got it, you're righteous. Now stay right there. No, you'll never get there by working up. Jesus already worked it all up, was completely obedient, and gave it to us. You understand that? Okay, righteousness, Romans says, is a free gift. So we've received this righteousness as a free gift. Notice he says here, we didn't only receive it, we became it. That you might become the righteousness of God in him. Become. See, that's part of that new creation. That new creation is the righteousness of God. I mean, it is the very rightness of God in you. In you. Thank God. Now, let's clarify this for a little bit. Because somebody says, well, wait a minute, when you say I'm a new creation, but what about my flesh and what about my mind? What about the thoughts that I think? I mean, they're not new. I know something happened, but, you know, well, here, we need to dissect ourselves for a little bit so we can understand what God is talking about here, what Paul is talking about. How many of you remember 1 Samuel 16:7? Kimberly quoted, I believe, this past weekend, when Samuel the prophet came into the house of Jesse to anoint one of his sons to be king at the direction of the Lord, and they all lined up, and the Lord said, not any of those. And Samuel said, do you have another one? Well, I said, no. Get that slippery place fixed. He said, do you have another son? Oh, just the youngest one out there tending the sheep. Call him in. Call him in. The Lord said, that's the one. But here's what the Lord said to Samuel, because Samuel had seen the eldest, Eliab. I mean, he was tall, good looking, as Kimberly said, kingly looking. And the Lord said, do not look at his appearance, for the Lord does not see as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at what? The heart. Now, this is what Paul is talking about here. Paul is saying, if you are going to find out who you really are now that you've received Jesus, you got to stop looking at the outward appearance and you got to look into the heart. Well, how do you do that? How do you look into the heart? How do you do that? Well, let me suggest to you that you have to look more than just at the heart in itself. You need to look at your spirit. Your spirit. See, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 is where Paul says, let me just pull out something out of this, that he was talking about something different, but what he mentioned will help us in what we're studying here. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he says spirit, soul, and body needs to be preserved blameless. That means
Don't only focus on your spirit and say, I'm saved. That's good. But you're responsible for your soul and your body as well. Let them all be preserved blameless. In other words, now that you are righteous, be righteous. Act righteous. Be obedient to the Lord, because you can now, because you're the righteousness of God. But I want you to notice how he divides us up. Spirit, soul, and body. Sometimes I hear some people say, body, soul, and spirit. No, that's the wrong order. It's not body, soul, and spirit. Now, that's the way people live. Body first. Flesh first. Right? And sometimes maybe people say it the way they live it. Body, mind, and spirit. Somebody said, no, the Bible says spirit, soul, and body. Last. Spirit, soul, and body. That's how we're divided up. Spirit. Well, the Bible says if you belong to the Lord, you become one spirit with Him. Paul says in Corinthians. You become one spirit with Him. So the part of you that was saved when you received Jesus was your spirit. Your mind did not change. That's why you still think some of the ugly thoughts you think. But your spirit was changed. But did you know your spirit is the hardest part of you to discern? In fact, 1 Corinthians 2 is where Paul says, no man can see the spirit. You can't discern the spirit. Can't see him. He's rightly judged by no man. And then in Hebrews 4:12, the Bible says, the word of God is living and so sharp and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, it can even divide the soul and spirit. So you can't find the spirit. Now, we get into this in depth in CIA. When we talk about the sword of the spirit and such, we get into all this and talk about this in depth. But just to say that it's your spirit that is changed when you receive Jesus. I mean, your spirit becomes a brand new spirit on the inside. And when the Bible says man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart, to determine whether you're part of His family, He looks right down at your spirit. Aren't you glad He doesn't look at the flesh? He doesn't look at the attitude on your face. Now, I'm not saying that He doesn't deal with it. I'll tell you, with my kids, I know they're my kids. They're part of my family. But sometimes I see that attitude on their face, and that attitude doesn't look like the Dearman attitude. Is that right? Now, I don't say, well, you know, I'll just have to look at their heart. Well, listen, I know their heart, but I also see their face. And I found that there's another place on their anatomy that can correct that face problem. You understand? Doesn't mean God doesn't correct us and deal with our attitude. But to determine whether we're part of the family, He looks at our spirit. Our spirit is what He looks at. So when Paul says, old things are passed away, all things are become new, he's talking about you, the real you, the spirit man. Everybody say this. Say, I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. My spirit has been born into God's kingdom, into God's family. Now, have you ever heard people talk about the fact that we're born again? You heard that? Born again? Jesus actually brought that up in the third chapter of John. You remember? In fact, let me read a couple of scriptures to you from John 3. Verse 5, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Water and the Spirit. What does that mean? Water is your first birth. Before you were born, the water breaks. You're born of the water, the flesh, see? He says, unless you're born of the water and the Spirit is the second birth. It's when you receive Jesus as your Lord and your spirit is born into God's kingdom. That's born of the Spirit. So he says, unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. This is how you get saved. You have to be born twice, born into this world physically and then spiritually born into the family of God. But have you ever heard people in the kingdom of God, in church and such, say, well, I'm born again. And other people say, well, we're adopted into the family of God. Right? The Bible says we cry out, Abba, Father, because we receive this. It says For you have not received the spirit of fear, received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. That's what Paul said in Romans, 8th chapter. And so I've always looked at, we're born again, then we're adopted, we're born. And I've always wondered about that now. Are we born into the family of God or are we adopted? Which one? The Bible says both. So that should give us a clue that it is both. What does that mean? Your spirit was born into the kingdom of God. But that's the same old body and the same old mind that you have that needs to be renewed. And guess what? God adopts it. Isn't that good? 8th chapter of Romans also says that the whole creation groans and eagerly waits, travailing with these birth pangs together until now, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Thank God. See that? So we're both born into the family of God in the Spirit, but God adopts the rest of us. And if it doesn't throw the rest of us away, adopts it. Thank God our bodies will be resurrected and renewed, changed from mortal to immortal and corruption to incorruption and so on. Now, so we're born, when you receive Jesus, your spirit man is on the inside, born instantly into the family of God. And from that point on, God looks at your spirit to see who you are. Are you one of His? He doesn't look at your mind. He doesn't look at your flesh, your body. He looks at your spirit. And that's what Paul's talking about. From now on, we're going to stop looking at the flesh to determine this. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation, even though we can't see it all on the outside. Right? All things have passed away. Behold, this is the way we see it. All things have become new. And now all things are of God. It's almost like He's got His eyes closed, saying, hey, if I hear you receive Jesus, hey, if I hear you confessing Jesus as Lord, this is the way I see you. Because if I open my eyes, I start doubting. But see, this is what we need to do. We need to, in a sense, close our eyes to what we look like, what we act like, what we talk like, and say, listen, I believe in Jesus. I believe He died for my sins. And I've received Him from my heart. Then you're born again, the Bible says. And you're a new creation. And you need to start seeing yourself that way. You need to stop looking at the flesh, regarding yourself according to the flesh, and start looking at the Spirit. So therefore, you're a new creation. Old things passed away. All things have become new. All things are of God. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation, the message of reconciliation to get other people to Jesus, and you're the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, what if I don't look like the right? I don't look at what I'm doing. Look what I'm still struggling with. I'm still in bondage. Well, don't look at that. Don't look at that. That's the flesh. And the more you look at the flesh, the more you act like the flesh. Isn't that right? You've got to see yourself differently, is what Paul said. You know, you can go out to the pig pen and take a big old pig and bring him in the house, put him in the tub, shower him all up, get him all clean, make sure to use Zest. Underall, do pigs have armpits or are those leg pits or what are all four? Get them all cleaned up, get them out of the shower. Give them a nice shave, right? Huh? Huh? Under arm leg deodorant. Spray some nice Michael Jordan cologne on him. And there you got it. The family poodle right there. And as soon as you open the door, what does he do? He takes out, broom, 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 broom. Right back in the slop and the mud. You know why? Because you see him as a poodle, but he sees himself as a pig. And pigs act like pigs. Is that right? And so many Christians have received Jesus genuinely, their spirit changed, but they continue to look at themselves in the flesh. I see myself struggling. I'm not making it. I can't do it. I'm never going to be able to do it. And so on. You keep looking like that, seeing yourself as a sinner. And the more you see yourself as a sinner, the more you act like a sinner.
If I walked up to you and said, hey, you know what? They were at your house with the big check, you know, sweepstakes, and you missed it. But I told them I knew you. I got it for you. Come on. I mean, you know, big $20 million check or whatever at your house. You know, there it is. Well, you know what? You need to act like you believe me. Because if you don't act like you believe me, in other words, if you don't believe me, if you see yourself as still a person that is facing debt and paycheck to paycheck, weak, I can't make it, then you know what? You don't even hustle home. You don't even try. And so many Christians are still bound in sin because they still see themselves as sinners. And the more you see yourself as a sinner, the more you just fall right into the traps of sin. But when you begin to see yourself as the righteousness of God in Christ, see, this is what happened to me. I was working at the grocery store, Stater Brothers Market. I knew God had called me to get something done for the kingdom, but I wasn't in. Wasn't hired to do anything. Nobody offered me any position to, you know, paid to do anything. I was volunteering, working in the ministry like so many of you are. But I was in my own boot camp. Man, I was meditating, listening to tapes, meditating on the word. And I'll never forget this one night. I'm up there, you know, working with the potato chips, putting them from the box up on the shelf. And I'm meditating on 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in him. Whew. Still dealing with sin, still dealing with lust, bondage, struggle. You know, when your heart wants to do right, and yet, man, this thing has a grip on you, but yet you're just fighting it with everything you've got, confessing it before the Lord, and saying, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in him. And I meditated on it. When you meditate on it, that means you preach it to yourself. And so I began to say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm right with God. I'm the righteousness of God. He made Jesus who knew no sin to be sin for me, so that I might become the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness of God. Now, I had been doing that for quite a long time. Weeks, I believe, several months. Meditating, just going over that. And this one, I'll never forget. I was right back there by the potato chips. And I said it one more time. And it exploded inside of me. Listen to me. The revelation of it exploded. Tears start coming down. And all of a sudden, I got it. Now, I had it in my head before. I knew it. If anybody says, well, we're the righteousness of God in Christ. That's right. That's right. But I didn't have it here. And all of a sudden, it exploded on the inside. I'm already right with God. It didn't matter that I was still struggling. It didn't matter that I'm not measuring up, not perfect. I'm already right with God because he made him who knew no sin to be sin for me, so that I might become the righteousness of God in him. So I'm the righteousness. The thing hit me, just exploded inside of me. I'm right with God. I'm right with now. See, my flesh hadn't changed a bit. Nothing had changed on the outside, but on the inside, I knew. Oh, I'm right with God. He looks at me and sees me right, even though my flesh is not right. He's not looking at that. He's looking down at my spirit and sees the gift of righteousness having been given to me by the blood of Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus, gave it to me, and I'm standing there right, walking around right. Even when I sin, I'm right. It exploded inside of me. And you know what? The sin started dropping off. And the struggle wasn't there, because now I don't see pig. I don't see poodle either. I don't like poodles. Nobody in here has a poodle, right? I don't like all poodles, is what I was trying to say. And some poodles I don't dislike as much. I like, you know, you're going to have a dog, I have a tough dog. I got little bitty dogs. I mean, they're smaller than some cats, but they're tough. Or at least they think they are. But you see, if you still think pig, you act pig. You got to see who you really are. And you have to meditate and convince yourself, this is who I am. Thank God. This is who I am. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, look at 1 John chapter 1. Let me show you a couple of things that will help us clarify. 1 John chapter 1. How many of you remember this verse down here, the 9th verse that says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse from all unrighteousness. And so many times I've heard people use this to win people to the Lord. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, but that's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about unbelievers. This is a passage written to and about Christians having fellowship and needing to have fellowship with God, Jesus, and one another. So look at the 3rd verse. 1 John 1, John says, I'm writing to you about that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So notice, he says, I'm writing to you so that you can have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with the Lord Jesus. This passage is written about fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. Look at the 6th verse. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. What does that mean? Now, he's talking about sinning here. There's a difference between sin and sins. He's talking about sins. If you're a believer, one who has confessed Jesus the Lord, and you're sinning, but yet you're saying, I'm fellowshipping with God, me and God, we're right there. Yeah, but you're walking in sin. He says, you lie. You cannot be fellowshipping with God and sinning at the same time. God does not fellowship with sin. So he's talking here about fellowship, and he's saying that your actions, now listen, now we're getting into the flesh and the attitudes and the mind. He said, your actions will shortcut the fellowship with God. Just because your actions don't determine whether you have relationship with God or not, that does not mean they don't determine fellowship. There's a difference between relationship with God and fellowship with God. So he says, if you are walking in darkness and you say you have fellowship, then you lie and you don't practice the truth. Now notice verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now he says, if we is Christians. John's writing, is John a Christian? Sure he is. If we confess our sins, because after you become a Christian, you still sin. And when you sin, that's rebellion or disobedience against God, and it breaks the fellowship with God. And he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and the fellowship gets restored again. But the relationship did not get broken because of the sin. Now listen to what he's saying here. Let me ask you this question. This is a big question that needs to be clearly answered in your heart and mind. You're a Christian. You've received Jesus as Lord. And say, you're going along and you're tempted and you sin. Just, I mean, outright sin. Whatever it is. Well, what if Jesus was to come back right then and you didn't confess that sin? Well, here it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. But what if you didn't confess? Or what if you, either he came right then, you didn't have a chance to, or you had a minute, but you delayed and didn't do it, just sat there feeling guilty, and Jesus came right then. Where do you go? Do you go to heaven or do you go to hell? It's a good question, right? See, because you need to know this. If you're a Christian and you sin, blatant outright, and I'm not talking about on accident, you sinned, you knew better and you did it anyway, and Jesus came right then, bam. Or you died right then, bam. Where do you go? Do you go to heaven or you go to hell? You sinned on purpose and didn't confess it. Well, let me just help you understand this. If you're a Christian and you sin, you absolutely, without doubt, will go to heaven to be with Jesus. Because if your sinning took you out of the family of God, then it's based on you. It's works. But the whole Bible says it's not works. It's grace. It's faith. It is not works. So you can't be, you know, I hear people saying, I think I lost my salvation. Well, what do you mean lost? You mean, you know, you're saved and walking down the street and everything is like, what's the matter? I think I lost my salvation. No, you don't lose your salvation. Your salvation was provided by grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He earned it for you, and you received it by faith. You don't lose it on accident. You don't lose it by messing up. Let me give you an example. My son's a good boy. He's got such a precious heart. He messes around a lot, and he's not perfect. He disobeys like any other boy, but he's a good boy. But there are some times where I tell him very clearly what to do. And he knows, I should do that. That's what Dad said. That's what Dad meant. But he thought, I might get away with it. And so, at times, he won't do it. And this has been going on all of his life. I'll just confess it. Ever since he was a little baby. I mean, this little guy. And so you know what I do? Every time that he disobeys me, the next day I go right down to the government office and I change his last name. Kick him right out of my family. And then when he comes back and repents, then I go back down to the government office and I change his name back in there because we don't have any sinners in our family. Now, how many of you know, even though he sins, he's still a part of the family? Is that right? He's still a part of the family. But fellowship is broken. You understand? Fellowship is broken. My dad, I won't tell you any stories because they take too long, but they're good. Maybe next week I'll tell you something there. But I'll tell you this one, quick one. We got into this habit, I don't know how, but at school, you know, football players in the locker room and things, and we'd just come up and kind of grab the other guy, you know, with his shirt off and just, we had a name for it. It was a TT, okay? And the second T is a twister. And we just come up and we'd, you know, give him a good twist. Yeet, you know, like that. And sometimes hold it and say whistle, Dixie, and that kind of thing, you know. And well, just kind of commonplace. And everybody was watching themselves. You know, you walk by somebody and they go like this. And you come on, buddy, you know. And you got to defend yourself. You know, it's just kind of that thing going on. Well, I got home one day. My dad was there without his shirt on. And I had a good idea. Now, this guy is a hairy beast, you know, on his chest. That just reminded me of something else funny. I was sitting in a restaurant booth with my older brother, Gil, and I looked behind him, and there was a guy there with a tank top shirt on. This guy was a hairy beast, you know. All the way up his arms. I mean, just, man, I mean, everywhere, hair, you know. You know, and I just said to Gil, man, look at the hair on that guy, you know. He glances down back, you know, and I said, I know what kind of shampoo he uses. Head and Shoulders. Anyway,
Anyway, my dad's just sitting there, you know, everything's pleasant. And I walk up. I don't know whether I caught some of those hairs or what, but I just gave it a good twist. The response time was immediate. I had never expected a reaction like that. He came at me. Now, he's not a little guy. You know, he's smaller now than he used to be. He came at me, bumping me chest to chest. What are you doing? What are you doing? I mean, back me all the way up into the refrigerator. I don't go over that funny business, all right? All right. Now, he was still my dad. I was still his son. But fellowship was gone. I'll tell you right now. No fellowship going on right now. You understand the difference? Okay. There's a difference between relationship and fellowship. And when Paul says, we don't look at your flesh anymore, your flesh will show your fellowship level with God to a large degree. But that's even hard to judge sometimes, because somebody that doesn't know so much, it doesn't break the fellowship, because the Bible says, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it's sin. But if you don't know, that's not sin to you yet, even though it's wrong. You understand? But a little baby that sticks something in its mouth, or a little baby that throws something, knocks something off, they're just a little baby. Well, that's not the same sin as if your 14-year-old did that, walked by and just shoved the vase off of the table and broke it. How many of you know you deal with that two different ways? Because to him who knows, you deal with that a different way. But the baby was just looking at it and whatever. See, and a lot of people are baby Christians, and God looks at those things a lot different than people do. See? And so he says here, if we as Christians do sin, you don't get thrown out of the family of God. And God says, oh, you're a son of the devil now. I used to think that. I used to think that every time you sin, you were out of the family of God. In fact, at our church, we used to have Sunday night services, which were evangelistic services. And so they'd bring in different evangelists, always preaching about hell, always just constantly on hell. And then they'd show these nice movies. You know, we'd have movie night, Thief in the Night, Distant Thunder, about, you know, getting left behind and all those kind of things, you know. And then after the movie, you know, one time we saw a movie and they actually had footage of hell. I saw the flames and the worms and everything. I saw it with my own eyes. I was a kid. Then the pastor gets up after the movie and says, you know, I just kind of feel in my heart that there might be some of you that might want to come down to the altar and make things right with the Lord. Man, and all the teenagers for sure, you know, all of us come down there. But I got saved every Sunday night. Because I thought that when you sin, God tosses you out of the family. Didn't know that I'm saved by grace. I didn't get into the family by being good enough. I don't stay in by being good enough. But my sin does break the fellowship with God. And if you want to have the good life, you not only want the relationship with God, you want that fellowship. And so when you sin, you want to get that out of the way right then. I mean, just right then. Get it out. I've learned to do that. I've learned to confess sin right now. Not only with God, but with people. You know, you give somebody a bad attitude, don't wait 2 or 3 days. Humble yourself. Why? Because I realize I can't be right with God and not be right with people. I can't treat people like dirt and fellowship with God, because God doesn't treat people like dirt. Even if they're a family member. Some people think, well, it's okay for me to treat my spouse like dirt. Well, that's not true. That's not right. You can't have fellowship with God and sin against a brother or sister or somebody else. You can't do that. See? But there's a difference between relationship with God and fellowship with God. Let's stand, though, because we've already received some good truths from the Lord. Let's stand. Thank God. I want us to say some things tonight.
Come on, let's declare some things about the Lord. I want you to close your eyes. Just stand up and close your eyes right where you are. Thank you, Lord. And I want you to begin to see yourself differently than what you have seen. We're not going to regard ourselves according to the flesh anymore. Let's declare out loud before the Lord. According to the Word of God, I am the righteousness of God. I'm right with God. I'm a man of God or woman. God loves me. My spirit is cleansed from sin and cleansed from all unrighteousness. God looks at me past my flesh, past my weaknesses, past my bondages and shortcomings and attitudes, flesh, and sees my spirit. Born again, righteous, new creation. Old things passed away. All of it's new. All is of God. I'm part of His family. He sees the resemblance between my spirit and Himself. I'm part of the family. So I'm right with God. I'm pure. He has declared me, judged me, recognized me as being His, as being clean, as being right forever and ever. I receive this by grace, not by my obedience, but by Jesus' obedience. It wasn't my righteousness, it was His righteousness, but He gave it to me. So now it's mine. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm a new person. I'm not a sinner. I was a sinner. I was saved by grace. Now I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm a Christian. I'm the righteousness of God. Therefore, I live righteous. I walk righteous. I talk righteous. I obey my God. Because me, the spirit man, is part of Him. I'm free from sin. I'm a new person. I got a fresh start. My life will never be the same. I refuse to look at myself on the outward. I look in the inward. The spirit man. I'm right with God by the grace of the Lord Jesus and by His blood. I'm clean. I'm forgiven. I can hold my head up high, put a smile on my face, because my daddy, my father, my God smiles on me. He loves me. He's proud of me. He sees me for who I really am. He tells people that I'm His child. He flips out His wallet and shows the pictures, and I'm in there. That wallet's called the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm part of that family, and I will be forever, because it's not based on me. It's based on Jesus, and I believe in Jesus. So even when I mess up, even when I sin, my fellowship is broken, but not my relationship. My relationship is secure, solid, unchanging, on the grace of God. So I confess my sins, and the Lord cleanses me, purifies me, and my fellowship is restored. And I can hang out with my Father and my Lord Jesus, as well as my brothers and sisters, and enjoy my new life of being right with God. I declare it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Now let's stretch our hands up and thank God. Come on. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are the one who gave us this gift of righteousness. And we believe.